The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. It's Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. I will now read the words from the Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Amen. Starting last fall, a strange rumor began to spread among some of the Korean churches. The rumor was that a war would break out in Korea in December. The origin of the rumor was a certain evangelist named Hong Hae-san, who supposedly attended a seminary in the States but did not finish. She said that the words of God came to her and uploaded a video of her prophesying a war in Korea on YouTube on September 6th of last year for the first time. As the number of viewers of her clip increased, she continued to upload other videos. And her prophecy of Korean War spread quickly through social network service. As is already publicly known, this is what the prophecy said. When December comes, North Korea will strike South Korea using many underground tunnels that they have dug. The president will be kidnapped. The half of the population of South Korea will die. The children will be dragged to North Korea to be eaten, and women will be forced into sexual labor as the second group of so-called comfort women. Therefore, it was imperative that one escape to foreign countries before December came. And at last, Evangelist Hong went so far as to prophesy a specific date and a time of the event by declaring that the war will start on December 14th, 2014 at 4:30 a.m. on Sunday. Around that time, I received several messages at different times from young people for whom the SNS has become a part of their lives. They asked what I thought of the prophecy of Evangelist Hong Hae-san, who predicted that a war would break out in Korea on December 14th. I told them, I stake my position as a senior pastor of this church to predict that a war that was prophesied by Evangelist Hong would never happen on that day and that they should not worry. Now, but if we were to look back, the Evangelist Hong Hae-san's prophecy of a Korean War, which has already proven to be false, was relatively a minor thing. 23 years ago, in 1992, there was an even a greater controversy. It happened because of the claim about the end of the world that was spread by a certain pastor called Lee Jang-nim. And Pastor Lee Jang-nim founded Tami Mission, a name that was taken from the phrase in Korean meaning preparing for the nearing future. And he prophesies that with the second coming of the Lord, will happen on October 28th of 1992, and rapture will occur at that time. In other words, Christians will be lifted up while living and receive the returning Lord in the air, and therefore one had to prepare for that day. At the time, there was no SNS at all, but Pastor Lee Jang-nim's prophecy had a national impact. There was no less than 166 churches which accepted his view of eschatology, and countless Christians who did the same. The believers were firmly believed in the world and the rapture, as told by Pastor Lee. Cut off ties with family members who did not believe it, gave up their jobs, sold their possessions, and gave the proceeds to the church and concentrated on prayers in order to prepare for the rapture. Pastor Lee Jang-nim's prophecy about the end of the world and the rapture gave rise to huge social problems. It was said that a woman who was pregnant at the time aborted her baby out of fear that she would have a hard time being lifted up because of the baby's weight. If you believe in rapture in which you are lifted up while living, but believe that the weight of the baby who's not yet even born and who is within her would be a problem for the rapture, what exactly is the purpose for such kind of faith? October 28, 1992, the day that Pastor Lee Jang-nim prophesied that the rapture would happen, was a Wednesday. And I was at the time the pastor of the Church of Our Lord. Starting from 7 p.m. that evening, there were news broadcasts of people who believed that the rapture would happen and gathered at their churches dressed in white clothes. That night, I said in front of the church members that the rapture that was predicted to happen by Pastor Lee Jang-nim at midnight would never happen. The Wednesday night Bible study at Our Lord's Church that night began at 8 p.m. And the rapture prophesied by Pastor Lee Jang-nim was to happen at midnight, 4 hours later. If Pastor Lee Jang-nim's prophecy were truly given by God, his prophecy was about to turn into reality only a mere 4 hours later. If I thought that there was even a 0.001% of chance that Pastor Lee Jang-nim's prophecy were true, I would have avoided mentioning the rapture altogether. Or even if I mentioned it, I would have made some ambiguous statement about it. But I was able to say definitively to the members of Our Lord's Church, 4 hours left to go before the time that Pastor Lee Jang-nim had fixed for the rapture, that it will never happen in the next 4 hours. And last year, I was able to predict, staking my position as a senior pastor of this church to several of our young people of our church, that the Korean War prophesied by evangelist Hong Hye-sun would never happen, because this kind of fortune teller-like prophecy, which picks out a specific date and time for an event, is not the kind of prophecy that the Bible is talking about. But it is known that there are a number of Christians who believe the evangelist Hong Hye-sun's prophecy and escaped to countries like U.S., Canada, Fiji, Philippines, Cambodia, and Thailand before December 14th. This is the December 14th of last year. the date when she said that the war would break out in Korea. 2 weeks ago, the well-known I Want to Know program of SBS station interviewed a reporter on Koreans who had gone to a remote area in the northernmost part of Thailand, a place called Maehongseon, believing Evangelist Hong's prophecy. About 40 people were living together in a mission center run by a Korean missionary. Although it became clear that the evangelist Hong Hae-sun's prophecy that a war would break out in Korea on December 14th was a complete lie, they believe that a war, which is different from the wars of the past, was going on in Korea. They firmly believe that multiple collisions that happened on highways and fires that happened in apartment tops were all war activities engaged in by the North. The eschatology of Pastor Lee Jang-nim, which predicted that the end of the world would happen on October 28th of 1992, caused such a social stir that when I went home around 11 p.m. after finishing the Wednesday night Bible study that night, the television showed a live broadcast of a church, which was one of the places that the believers of the rapture were together. A lot of citizens had gathered around the church to see what would really happen. The believers of the rapture who were dressed in white and were on their way to enter the church showed V signs with their fingers before the camera and the crowds as if they were some kind of victors. The believers who had already gone inside the church waved from the second-story windows, looking down at the crowd, the people who have been excluded from the rapture from their perspective, with expressions of pity. But when the midnight came, the time prophesied by Pastor Lee Jang-nim, the rapture did not happen to any person, and it didn't happen at any place. At that moment, can you imagine how flustered the believers of the rapture, who had gathered in 166 churches across the nation, must have felt? It was later told that among the believers of the rapture, unrest began to break out, as the rapture did not happen even when the midnight came around. A leader at a certain church is said to have shouted, "The rapture happens not on Korea time, but midnight Israel time." Between Korea and Israel, there is 7 hours of difference. The people who had gathered at that church waited until 7 a.m. the next morning, but the rapture did not happen. And at another church, it is said that a leader said, "The Lord's second coming is being delayed because of traffic." But even when the traffic stopped in the middle of the night, there was no second coming. The next day, in every morning paper, there were photographs of rapture believers who were leaving the church with their heads down. They made such a contrast with the way they had entered the church while making the V sign the night before. In this way, the Pastor Lee Jang-nim's prophecy about the end of the world and the rapture were shown to be clearly, unarguably, unbiblical claims. However, among those who had believed in the rapture back then, it is said that there are still those who keep extending the deadline of the rapture, even 23 years later today, and firmly believe that it will happen on the day that they have picked out. Pastor Yijangnim's prophecy that fixed the time and the date of the end of the world and the rapture as being October 28, 1992 at midnight, and the prophecy of the evangelist Hong Yesan that definitively predicted that a war would happen in Korea on December 14, 2014 at 4:30 a.m. are so fantastic that they're not even worthy of discussion by a Christian who has some rationality and common sense. But the reason that perfectly fine Christians easily become engrossed in such kind of false prophecy or become misled them, abandoning even their families and jobs, is because they mistakenly think that the prophecy mentioned in the Bible is a kind of a fortune-telling prophecy. Apostle Paul, who began the third mission trip, visited Ephesus, as he promised, and met certain disciples. These were people who had never heard of Holy Spirit existing. Paul told them, who only knew about the baptism of John, about the Messiah, Jesus, whom the John the Baptist has prophesied about while he was living, and they received baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul baptized them and put his hands on them, the Holy Spirit, whom they hadn't even known about a little while ago, came upon them. They had not made any efforts to receive the salvation of the Lord. But the grace of receiving salvation through believing in Jesus Christ on the cross was given to them for free through the Spirit of the Lord. Let us take a look at verse 6 of today's text. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. At the same time that the Holy Spirit came upon them, there were about 12 of them, began to speak in tongues and prophesied as if they had a prior agreement to do so. In other words, the speaking in tongues and prophesying became evidence that the Holy Spirit had come to them. Since we thought about the deeper meaning of speaking in tongues as mentioned in the Acts during last time, we will think about the meaning of prophecy today. When the Holy Spirit came, what would the disciples of the text have prophesied? Would it have been that on such and such a date and time a war would happen, or the end of the world would come? A fortune-telling-like prophecy? If it were that kind of prophecy, even if they were completely accurate, what would that mean for us from our perspective 2,000 years ago? It would only be something that happened in the past. The more the time passes by, it would fade away as a past event that has nothing to do with us. If so, then what meaning would such prophecy have before God the Holy Spirit? If it were that kind of prophecy, what difference would there be between a prophecy which is a gift from the Holy Spirit and a prediction of a fortune teller? The Korean word for prophecy, yeon, means telling certain events ahead of time, like a fortune teller. But the biblical meaning of the Greek verse, prophetuo, which has been translated as prophecy in our language in today's text, does not mean that. Prophetuo is a Greek translation of the Hebrew word naba, which means Nava, which means being entrusted with God's words. And the person who is entrusted with God's words is called Nabi in Hebrew. And this is the word that is translated into Korean as the word prophet. But contrary to popular misunderstanding, the word ye, making up the word yeonja in Korean, or prophet, does not mean ahead of time, but it means entrustment. In the same way that a bank is entrusted with people's deposit or yeogum, the people who are entrusted with God's words are yeonja or prophets. In other words, the numerous prophets who appear in the Bible are not fortune tellers who pick out events that will happen in the future like a human pincer, but prophets who interpreted the past, the present, and the future with the words of God and extolled their age and the world to be on the right path. And here is the reason that the more one becomes engrossed in a fortune-telling kind of prophecy, one's life and faith will fall into a delusion and become further and further away from holiness. While the life of a prophet who interprets the time and the history with the words and stands upright on the word and help others to do so will become more and more holy. If the disciples in today's text became people who could predict what will happen in the future, like fortune tellers, it would have harmed their faith more than benefiting them. That they had prophesied in the presence of the Holy Spirit means that they became biblical prophets, persons who can discern the time and the world around them through the words of God, and live a right life while helping others to do so. This was the true evidence that the Holy Spirit had come to them. The motto for our church this year is you in me, I in you, based on John chapter 14, verse 20. The Lord is in us, and we are in the Lord. This is not something that we ask for or that we hope for. This is the word of promise that the Lord has given to us, a word of promise. The Lord is already with us in the Spirit and has allowed us already to be in Him. That Lord is Logos, the Word. The Lord who is Logos entrusted His words, who is Himself, His very self, in their entirety to us. We are all, therefore, prophets who are responsible for the Lord's words in the Lord. Therefore, in the light of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord who is already in us, all of us can become prophets who can interpret the past, discern the present, and assess the future with the words of the Lord, and who stands upright on the words and help others to do the same. I am going to make a prophecy for those who wasted time and their lives away from the Lord and has just turned to Him. I will prophesy with the words of Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 to 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See? I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Today's people like things that God gives them more than God Himself. Christians are no exceptions oftentimes. And by serving things of the world that do not have life or personality, something that could never take eternal responsibility for us, people are turning God into a means to get what they want rather than their ultimate life purpose. And so, I can prophesy for this age and the people of this age with the words of Joshua, chapter 23, verse 16. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land He has given you. But, to the contrary, for people who keep to the good conscience as a Christian, even when they suffer bad consequences for it, I will prophesy as follows. It's Psalms chapter 126, verses 5 and 6. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. And are there people who are slandered and persecuted by interested parties for the reason that they live righteously according to the words of the Lord in everything? Then for them, I prophesy with the words of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 19. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. For those who are uncertain that the providence of God would be fulfilled in their lives, although they don't possess anything and they don't have anything to show for, I will prophesy as follows. It is words from Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24. The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I planned, so it will be, and as I have purposed, so it will happen. In this way, any person under the light of the Holy Spirit can live a life of a prophet in the Word. No, rather, we must live as prophets, because this is the reason that the Lord, who is in us as Spirit, has entrusted His words to us. Today is the first Sunday of the Lent, the time of repentance, when we commemorate the Lord's passion on the cross and His resurrection, and when we are to put our damaged lives in order before the Lord. The Lord, who died on the cross as an offering to pay for our sins and lived again on the third day, shattering death, is already within us as a Spirit. He has allowed us already to dwell in His words, which is His very self. Let us repent that even so, we did not live at all as prophets. Let us do so on this first Sunday of Lent. Let us understand to our core that we are responsible for the divisions and conflicts of our age, the confusion and chaos, for having failed to live as prophets. Let none of us become engrossed in or be misled by fortune-teller-like prophecies of persons like Pastor Yu Jang-nim or the evangelist Hong Hae-san, who falsely use the name of the Holy Spirit. On this first Sunday of Lent, let all of us, with the help of the Holy Spirit, interpret the past, discern the present, and assess the future. And become the Navi of today, the prophets who base their lives on the words and help others to do the same. Although we are not worth much, the words of the Lord will save this age. Because while our words are merely momentary vibrations of air, the words of the Lord are the light of eternal life that will shatter death and darkness. Let us pray. Because I was not able to live in a way that befits a prophet who has been entrusted with the word, the life has become this dark, and because I failed to live in the way of the prophet, the current realities of our country has become this hopeless. That the churches of this land have lost their holiness is also because of my fault in not living in the way of a prophet. On this first Sunday of Lent, we repent of all these sins and ask for your forgiveness. Help us not to forget that the Lord who died on the cross as an offering to pay for our sins and lived again, shattering darkness and death, is present in us as a spirit and have allowed us to dwell in his word, which is himself. From now on, may all of us live as Navi, the prophets of this age who are responsible for your words. May we all become prophets who interpret the past, discern the present, and assess the future with the words of the Lord, and help ourselves to base our lives on the word and do the same for others. May our prophecies become the catalyst that make this age, which is ruled by death and darkness, come to life again in truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.